I spent years talking about the importance of the NYSE tick in recognizing the buy and sell flow within the intraday markets. I'm not sure that I've always done a really good job in explaining just how important I think this intraday oscillator is. So I'm going to take one more crack at it right now. You know, many of us trade NASDAQ stocks, especially intraday traders love trading NASDAQ. And so when you bring up the NYSE tick, there tends to be a sense of, well, you're probably not talking to me. But I spent years trying to use a NASDAQ tick in place of a NYSE tick for looking at buying and selling within NASDAQ charts, within NASDAQ markets. And I just didn't find it to have the same reliability as the NYSE tick. Now, so I now use the NYSE tick in conjunction with NASDAQ stocks or NYSE stocks, whatever I'm trading, because it seems to be a universal flow of buying and selling within the market that can be used by anybody who's participating in the short-term markets. Now, what exactly is a tick? A tick is a net flow of upticks within the market, buying sell behavior within the market, and a net flow of selling ticks within the market, downflow in the markets. This is reported in real-time basis through the exchange. You can make charts out of the thing. You can look at the numbers. It's really an oscillator. It moves between extremes. You could have a zero value that goes to a plus extreme of 1,000 to 1,500, and then a minus extreme between minus 1,000, minus 1,500. The important thing about the NYSE tick is that, yes, you can chart it. You place it on a chart. You place it in the upper pane of a chart, and it shows an oscillation, you know, when there's action dropping, it's selling behavior. When there's action and the bars are going up, it's buying behavior. But it really doesn't end there. The NYSE tick makes a very good candlestick charts, excellent candlestick charts, using five-minute candles for over a 2 or 3 or 4 day period. It allows you to take a look at that as to how much buying or selling intensity there is. Now, the neat thing about the tick is how it forms a channel behavior. Grab almost any few days of data on NYSE tick and start drawing parallel price channels around them. You'll be absolutely amazed by what you see. The markets draw these channels going down for a few hours, then they break out and start drawing these channels going up for a few hours. And these channels help define overall sense of selling within the market or an overall sense of buying within the market. Now, you could drive yourself crazy trying to build perfect parallel lines for NYSE tick. And the illustration for this section, it shows an NYSE tick with absolutely exquisite, perfect parallel lines that drop down in nice little channels, almost like little rectangles, and then pop up in little rectangles. Now, it may have looked like in order to get this illustration, you had to do a lot of data mining. But the truth is, this illustration was obtained just pulling a random day of data from the markets. If you yourself go in and start to look at this indicator and start to draw some lines for yourself, you'll see that you could do this on many different days of activity. Now, don't get too obsessive compulsive about how you draw your lines. One of the things, or one of the reasons that you use candlesticks for the tick is in order to allow shadow violations of the edges of these trend lines. Very, very often you'll see the tick drop down below a trend line point or below a parallel price channel point, and then pop up in a doji or a shooting star pattern back above the line. Now, this is a tremendous signal that you have a short-term reversal within the tick behavior. So you can't get, that does a lot of violations, you can't get crazy about it. The other thing rather than tell you the other thing or the other point about extremes of the tick, let's look at how it interacts with price. Now, it's great that you get this doji behavior where it forms a short-term bottom or short-term top, but how do you trade it? You know, you're looking at individual markets. You're looking at wave motion within individual markets, say on 5-minute charts or 60-minute charts. Now, in looking at the tick with your individual markets, it's forming a convergence-divergence behavior. Perhaps your JDS Uniphase is dropping down into a support point as the tick is dropping down and then does one of these hammers down at the same time that JDSU hits that support point. Well, that's letting you know that the intraday oscillation of the market, the buying and selling behavior in the market, is reaching a short-term selling extreme. Now, how can you use this information in order to trade your stock? It adds one more element that says a short-term bottom has been reached. It's actually a form of cross-verification that that the market is reaching a point where a reversal is going to take place and where you should get in perhaps long at that support point. Now, you don't always have opportunities that align with the tick, but when you do, especially at fairly extreme tick readings, they become very important turning points. You know that once that tick point's passed, you're going to get support in the opposite direction, or you're going to get a move in the opposite direction, perhaps from selling turning into buying, that will support your trade to some extent. It won't necessarily overcome bad technicals, but it will support your trades up to a certain extent. Now, let's talk about the tick extremes. You know, there's a center line. Most times tick will move between about minus 400 and 400. During more extreme market conditions, a tick will break out of these points. And very often you'll see tick extremes move up close to 1,000, plus 1,000 or close to minus 1,000. For example, when the Fed started to ease interest rates in early 2001, the day that they made that first announcement that generated just a tremendous short covering rally, the NYSE tick moved right up to plus 1,000 before it reversed. Alternatively, go back to the initial sell-off from the great March high of the year 2000. That sell-off was over in early May of the year 2000, right after the NYSE tick dropped down to minus 1,000 exactly three times. And right after it hit that minus 1,000 for the third point, it started its rally up of over 1,200 points during the summer of the year 2000. Now, it's a shame, but just like our modern markets are a little bit more perverse in not stopping at the places where we suspect they should, according to the books that we're reading, NYSE tick can also move beyond the extremes of even 1,000 in very extreme conditions. During the violent trading just before the Asia low in the U.S. markets in 1998, a negative tick dropped to almost minus 1,600 one day. It's almost a sense of panic behavior when you start to see numbers like that. Now, the important point about seeing numbers like that is they indicate a short-term reversal. When you see a minus 1,600, you see a plus 1,000, you're taking out the market on one side. Minus 1,600 is taking out all of the folks who are just in a panic sense and just dumping their stocks in panic behavior. A plus 1,000 or plus 1,200 is taking out all those folks on the sideline who are waiting for an opportunity to buy, and the opportunity came along and they all rushed in with everyone else. Well, after the opportunity was over, there were many less buyers waiting on the sideline, and the market couldn't sustain itself, couldn't sustain that tick behavior, and it started to drop back in the other direction. Now, once again, this is very important in terms of how we time ourselves to the market. If we know where the very short-term extremes of buying and selling behavior are, we can assume positions that follow the flow that we expect to come after that that market reversal. Now, we do this again with a combination of extreme prices on tick and channel behavior on tick. Now, you can drop down to 1 minute bars on tick. You can drive yourself crazy, but you got to give tick a lot of wiggle room. It's within the wiggle room that it works. You also don't have to draw tick on a price chart if you don't want to. Tick will work extremely well in your indicator pane, where you're watching your futures markets, where you're watching your indices, where you're trying to determine the sense of intensity within the market. Now, one of the other things that tick does, and it's one of the ways in which people get confused when they read it, is very often you could have a market sell-off on a very mundane tick register. You could have a minus 200, but you could have a market that's consistently selling off, or you could have a plus 200 or 300, and have a market that's consistently rallying. Well, this gives you very, very important information. This is telling you that there aren't a lot of buyers or sellers in the market, but there are even less folks going in the opposite direction. A tick of plus 200 where the market is rallying strongly tells you, okay, there are some buyers, but there are just no sellers. A tick of minus 300 where the market is just selling off like crazy tells you that the market's dropping from its own weight. There are sellers in the market, but they're not very intense sellers, but there are no buyers to support that market, and so the market is just sort of dropping and dropping and dropping. So tick interpretation becomes a bit of a skill-based, a bit of an art-based rather than skill-based operation, and it takes some time to learn, but it's one of the most valuable indicators you can use during the trading day.